Welcome back to Horizons. Josh Egan, thanks very much for joining me this morning on Horizons.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What are you studying?
From Tipperary myself, Ballina Killaloe is where we're usually associated with. I'm studying in MTU Kerry at the moment, so I'm in third year doing exercise health and sports sciences.
Exercise health and sport sciences.
Yeah.
And you're in your third year of that and on placement at the moment. What is that course all about and why did you choose it?
So within the course, there's three different streams. So there's a general stream that focuses on your personal training, your swim instructor, lifeguarding, aerobics, that stream. There's another stream that focuses on PE and business. So you teach PE and business in a secondary school. And then the third stream then is APA, Adapted Physical Activity. So it's providing programs and sport for people with disabilities. Last year then I chose the people with disabilities route, so that's the one I'm going down now.
So you're into sport and fitness, are you, Josh?
Yeah. Mm. It's an integral part of my life, yeah, at the moment anyway.
You're a young man. What age are you?
22 there.
Why have you chosen this option in the course?
Before I started in Tralee, I wanted to do a PE in business. That was my main aim. So I linked up with the Wheeler Blasters in Tralee, so it's a wheelchair basketball group. I linked up with them and kind of fell in love with them with working with people with disabilities. So when the option came up, I spoke to the parents and I said, look, I have a passion for working with people who are disadvantaged or people with disabilities, and I'd like to give them an opportunity. So 1 year nearly down of it so far, and I'm really enjoying it. Like,
Tomás Kenny got you involved in the diocese. How did that happen?
I'd be active enough around Tralee and stuff, doing bits and pieces. Like, so initially it was Paddy Daly. He was the chaplain around Tralee, and he'd given me a lot of opportunities and stuff. So I went to the Rose Hotel and went out there for a day with confirmation students. So from then, Paddy kind of linked me up with Tomás, and Tomás said there was a retreat come up in Teze and would have been interested in going. And for me, I didn't know what I was stepping into really, but I wanted to give it a go and just to see how a retreat would get on and stuff. So I went then to Teze with the Tralee Diocese.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was an incredible experience though. Like,
what made it incredible?
I suppose I was with another lad, like, he was older than me, but we'd great crack together, like, you know, similar minds, and just going out there to have a good time, but also to grow spiritually as well. Like, what was great in Teze was that you have time for work, you have time for prayer, you have time for play as well. Like, so there's a great blend and different things that we were doing. Like my best activity over there was in the kitchen. They have these massive pots and stuff, like, but just kind of cleaning up after meals and stuff was lovely.
I hate cleaning pots.
Yeah, but in Teze, it was quite enjoyable. Now we got hoses and stuff to spray, so it was cool, like.
And pans and grease. Was there a lot of grease?
There was a lot of grease and stuff, yeah. But like, you'd have 10 different people doing the tasks and stuff from different countries. So that's what made it so enjoyable for us. Like, we didn't have to be there Monday to Friday, but we were constantly going back where they were cleaning up, like, just to be exposed to that and meet different people from different cultures. You know, people from France, Germany, Austria, Ukraine, so many different places, and we're just having great buzz and great crack inside in the kitchen. Like, and it wasn't a chore for us, like, at all.
And the spiritual side of it, very important to the whole thing.
Yeah, so that's integral for the week that we were there. So you're up in the morning and you're praying for about an hour, and then it's a mass then after that, and there's choir practices, and then the evening as well, there's another mass again, like, quiet time. And then after, even at 10 o'clock in the evening, people are still praying again, so it's integral.
Can you sing, Josh?
Not really, no, but I gave it an attempt over there anyway, yeah.
Chanting is easier. You can do it kind of on any key, yeah? Definitely. You give it a go over there.
You would, yeah. Like, as I say, when you're over there, no one knows you as such, like, so you can let loose, you know, and you're okay, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
And from there, did you do anything else of a similar nature?
Yeah, I got connected in with the Dominican church that's close by here.
In Tralee, yeah.
In Tralee, yeah. So I started going to Mass there on Mondays and Wednesdays. From there, I got connected with a sister. Her name was Sister Adele. And from there, we kind of had a bit of a relationship going. And I asked her, like, if someone wanted to go on a mission for a week or so, how would I go about doing it? The midterm break came up. And I said, could I go during that time? Because I was off from college and stuff. She said, yeah, that would be great. Myself, a girl called Niamh from Cork went as well. So she was 23 at the time. And then Grace, another girl from Abbeyfield, went as well. So the four of us went over.
Two?
to Slovakia. Now, it's a really long name in Slovakia, Jugoslavska or something. We went over there and it's quite disadvantaged and stuff. So our main mission over there was to create a sort of a youth program to run activities with the kids and an outreach in terms of giving food and clothes and different things out to the people. Like,
in our own diocese, we could do with a youth reach program, not around giving out clothes or anything like that, but just a way of engaging young people in church. Have you any suggestions around that?
Yeah, so when I was over in Chile, we managed to set up a youth program over there.
Tell me about Chile.
Yeah, so what happened with the Chile experience was I was actually passing St. John's Church and there was an advertisement for a Zoom with a Colombian missionary over in Pakistan. And I said, look, I'd tune in because I wanted to kind of see what the missions were about and stuff. I was curious to understand what their life was over there. So I connected with the Zoom call.
Was that the webinar organised by the diocese and Liam O'Callaghan was our guest?
That was the one.
Yeah.
That was the one. And so Tomás Kenny, I know Tomás, so I put it in the chat. If someone wanted to go on a mission for the summer, how would they go about doing it? So Tomás asked my question and then Liam answered the question and then directed me then to Padre O'Donovan in Colombian Missionaries up in Navan.
Excellent. Yeah. And from there then, you went to Chile.
Yeah, I went to Chile then for just 11 weeks, yeah. So I went May 30th and came back then August 12th.
Last May.
Yeah.
You wrote about it in the Far East. You wrote in terms of special moments and things you learned. The first moment was Pedro was really good at feeding you. And I thought, that's so much like all of us, where you get a nice meal and where you get that kind of support that makes you feel safe. But there were other moments.
Yeah, like I went through so many different moments over there. Moments that stand out to me. One in the shanty town. So for instance, one of the kids there had cerebral palsy in one of the towns. And for me then, I wanted to design a game for him. Like, so what I decided to do was I got a board. I had to construct then two walls either side of the board and then two goals either side of that. So he could use his hand to try and build a bit of strength up there. Like, so I managed to construct that. I was on to one of the girls from college then as well, to ask her, like, if someone had this condition, what exercises would best be appropriate and suitable for that person. So she came back to me straight away and I got the list of exercises. We managed to have a printer on as well, so I printed off that sheet and then went to that kid then in the shantytown. And now the shantytown conditions are really bad. Like, it's horrible to see what they're living in on a day-to-day basis. Went down, brought my game, brought a couple of balls, brought the exercises. What was lovely about that moment was I was teaching, so Aaron was his name. Like, anytime I hear Aaron now, I picture your man, like, that. Like, he's only 5 years of age, this kid, like.
Oh, so young.
Yeah. And I was teaching the sister the exercises because I know that I'm only there for a short time. So my big thing was to teach the sister so one day then the sister could teach the brother. Now, my Spanish was broken at times, you know, trying to communicate with the sister, but I managed to convey the message and she managed to understand me and then taught the brother then from there.
Absolutely great sharing of learning and great empathy there. That's fantastic, Josh. Let's take a piece of music now, Josh. Tony Alonso, Feed the Hungry.
I am the hungry, I am the poor, I am the stranger outside your door. So when you feed the hungry, when you clothe the poor, I will no longer be just a stranger at your door.
What you have done for the least of my children, you have done for me. What you have given with nothing left to give, you have given me.
Come, all you blessed, come and rejoice.
Josh Egan. Anything else you learned from Chile?
The culture is certainly quite different, like, you know. A big thing for me is that the family time, like, you know, so we connected with Venezuelans, Bolivians, Colombians, Chileans, obviously, Peruvians. But what's lovely to see is that, you know, at dinner time, so dinner time over there would be 7 o'clock in the evening, that togetherness, the community, you know, there was one Bolivian family that had 14 in their family, and when it came to 7 o'clock in the evening, they were all sitting down, they were all chatting together, they were all making time for one another, like, and I found that so special, you know. You know, and it was nice that they were making time for each other, that no one is in a rush to do X, Y, and Z or whatever. They're here now. They want to talk. They want to communicate. They want to just share their moments of the day or how they got on or their own feelings and stuff like. And that could go on from 7 to 9 or 10 in the evening. But it's a great way to finish their days. Like, and I found that really powerful.
Lovely.
It's a small thing, but it's
lovely. And you have two brothers at home.
Two brothers now, yeah.
Younger than you.
So one is younger, one is older. Hmm. So I'm the middle child, yeah.
And would you sit down like that for your dinners in the evening?
At times we would. But look, I think nowadays and stuff, you're always kind of doing things like we're no angel family or whatever, but I think it is important for us to prioritise time, you know, for each other and ourselves, because I know how much of a difference that it meant for the families over there and how much of a difference that it can make for families in Ireland as well, like.
From that experience, and it was an amazing experience that you got from responding to the question time on the webinar, what ideas would you get that you think are suitable for a diocese like Kerry Diocese for involving young people?
When I was in Chile, we managed to set up a youth program. So it was important for the kids in that youth program. So they're all Colombian kids. So when you're over in Chile, you've got a lot of problems in terms of drugs, alcohol, addictions. There's violence, there's diseases and stuff going around the place. So for us, we had to create a program over there that could suit these kids. Like, I have a cool camp background, and I was teaching cool camp games. Danny Sweeney then was the other guy. He was from Manchester in England. He was over there as well. So he did self-defense with the kids because they need self-defense. And then Pancho was a third lay missionary. So he's 21 as well. Like, myself and Pancho got on very well, like, over the 10 weeks. Like, but Pancho then brought the singing and playing the guitar with the kids, like. So we all had something to offer the kids. So we started off with 4 or 5 kids. And when I was leaving then, because I had to go back to Santiago to connect with the migrants for a migrant sports day or whatever. But when I was leaving, it got to 15 kids. So we had 15 Colombians in that youth program there.
Doing self-defense, music and sports.
Cool camp games and whatever, yeah, from there.
Games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fabulous. So you thought that was a good model. Now, yeah. They were very young, those children, were they?
So youngest was 6, oldest was 15.
Where does religion come into it? Does it come into it?
It does. So at the start of our sessions, we set an intention. We pray for something. A lot of the kids would have something on their minds and stuff in terms of domestic violence at home or something that's going on in their own lives. So we'd share, like, we try to release our emotions at the start. And then during the session as well, we'd take a second, we'd pray again. You know, a bit of meditation, a bit of prayer. Like, they know their Hail Marys and their off orders. So we'd say a couple of them during the session. And then we'd always finish them with, thank you, Lord, for this session. And just reflecting, if anyone wants to say anything, to say it then during that session.
This was all in Spanish, though, was it?
All in Spanish, yeah.
And did you study Spanish in school? Have you any Spanish?
I didn't study Spanish in school. I linked up with the college here before I went. So I was getting grinds up in the college.
What about Duolingo on your phone?
Another good device that I could use over there as well, which is very handy.
How did you get on with Spanish?
Yeah, it was difficult at the start. So I had to go through a crash course of 2 weeks of all Spanish learning stuff.
And have you got Spanish now?
Yeah, if I was in an environment that I need to speak Spanish, I'd speak it.
Well done, so, Josh. Well yeah. Done. The young brain, you're learning it quickly. So
now.
Where to from here for you?
I've set up my own new programs at the moment.
Where?
So Ballina, County Tipperary, and there's one in Killaloe and Clare. So with them, they're called Faith for All. And in that, it's a similar model to what I was going off in Chile. What I do with them is cool camp games, a bit of self-defense, but also tying in prayer to it as well. Like, we'd set an intention at the start of the session. We'd play a game and then we'd pray again. So usually my prayers would come off the rescue mission that I did here in Chile with Mark Moriarty. So I use his model for the prayer and stuff.
In the diocese at the moment, there have been a number of webinars trying to get people involved in the youth side of things and with ideas. Have you engaged with any of those, Josh?
No, I haven't yet. I was in Tralee, obviously, from when I came back September to December. But now I'm based in UL at the moment.
You're on your placement.
I'm in UL at the moment, yeah.
Are you interested in the priesthood, Josh, at all?
Yeah, so I've kind of been posed that question a lot now coming back from Chile. I do think for me that it's about connecting in the missionary side of things. I do like to go away and to share the faith with people who need it the most. Like, the reason I went to Chile was because they have a migrant crisis there at the moment. So I like to respond to what's going on around me.
Do you feel you can do that as a lay missionary?
I feel at the moment, like, as I mentioned, Danny Sweeney and Pancho, like, they're two lads that have a similar brain and a similar mind to myself, and what they do, and, you know, in terms of outreach programs and retreats and pilgrimages for younger people, I'd like to see myself kind of helping in that way if I could, like.
It sounds absolutely great. So you've learned a lot from all of these involvements.
I've learned a lot now, yeah, certainly. I think when you lose yourself, you can actually find yourself, if that makes sense. I think before I left the Chile, I was kind of, not that I was narrow-minded, but I was kind of set in my ways. Your college in Tralee and you're playing sport and that's your life sort of thing. But when you go across, you don't know anyone. You know, you have to learn a new language, a new culture, a new way of living. You really just get to find yourself, like. And now I've come back and, like I say, setting up the new programs, you know, running my own classes at home. Like, I've stepped up in terms of what I wanted to achieve, and I'm really happy that even though I earned nothing over in Chile, it was all voluntary stuff, I'm coming back and I've learned so much and I've applied it now, and it's great to see that things are blossoming for me. So,
Josh Egan, thank you very much for chatting with us and telling us about your experiences in Taizé and your experiences in Chile, and keep up the great work.
No problem, Eric. Thanks for having me.
After the break, we think about Lent.